Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Marissa. Marissa is joining us today from New York. In addition to her work as a journalist, Marissa is the creator of Lupus Chick, an online blog, forum, and hub for all things lupus.
Hi, Marissa.
Hello, Marissa, and thank you so much for taking the time out to speak with us today.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Marissa, what led you to creating Lupus Chick?
So I had the idea for Lupus Chick just over 10 years ago. I had been diagnosed already for several years, and I was in a town where I had only met one other person with lupus. And so I thought creating an online forum and community where we can speak to one another, no matter where we are located geographically,
sure.
I just thought it was a good idea. And I never had any idea that it would grow into what it is today.
That's wonderful.
Marissa, what is lupus?
Medically, lupus is defined as a chronic inflammatory autoimmune disease. When I explain it to people, I sort of explain to them what it is not. That seems to help. Lupus is not like a bacteria. Okay. It's not contagious. A lot of people worry about that. It's not a cancer of the blood. We hear that a lot too, which is a myth. It's not really an allergy either. I think the easiest way to describe it is that our immune system is sort of on like overdrive, where maybe if you compare it to like HIV, where it's sort of underactive. So lupus is like overactive, and it starts attacking the body. It doesn't recognize your body as something that's safe. It sees it as something that's foreign.
And autoimmune, that means the body's own immune system, which is meant to protect us from bacteria and viruses, is attacking its own otherwise healthy tissue, right?
Correct. So with lupus, everyone is different. They say there's no two cases that are alike. So your body attacks, you know, certain areas. Most commonly, those areas are kidney, lungs, heart, brain, and your skin and your blood.
Oh, wow.
That's quite a few tissues.
Yes, yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, given that it can vary so much from person to person, what signs or symptoms first led you to know like that something was going on and something was wrong?
You know, so it's interesting. When I was diagnosed with lupus and learning the actual science, my mother and I were able to really pinpoint that really since I was 9 years old, I had been exhibiting them, but no one had ever picked it up.
Sure.
So for me, it's I get fevers randomly all the time. I get a lot of rashes. I have a lot of photosensitivity, so I can't really be out in the sun. Very severe fatigue, and also like mouth and nose sores. Those are sort of like the most common that I get. And then also some issues with like my blood, some anemia issues, some like for me, it attacks my blood the most. So I've gotten like blood clots, and I've had a couple of small strokes and things like that. So those are all like classic lupus signs.
Okay.
But you know, being young and in the 80s, lupus really wasn't a topic that you heard about often, and my doctors never tested me for it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And what causes your particular symptoms to flare?
Personally, I've noticed things like sunlight, stress, having an infection. Those are three of my biggest ones. Stress specifically for me, whether it's, you know, good stress or bad stress, I usually will see symptoms within 24 hours if there's a very stressful event.
Okay, okay. How long did it take for you to finally get a diagnosis then?
So from 9 until like 23, I pretty much just dealt with them. I just, you know, I was really sick often.
Wow.
So we sort of just felt like I just wasn't a healthy child and I wasn't a healthy teenager. Aww. And so I just had to kind of be careful. Luckily I still had a lot of energy back then. So
okay.
I would just sort of like steamroll through the symptoms, and they wouldn't last very long. It's not as long as they last today. But, when I was 23, I was actually hit and run over by a pickup truck as a pedestrian. And that incident, so a lot of autoimmune diseases are triggered, by, you know, a specific incident or an infection or a pregnancy, things
like
that.
If you don't call getting run over by a pickup truck stress, I don't know what you call it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was obviously a very bad year. I was in recovery for a long time. And during that time, it's all the symptoms, instead of coming out like just the fever or just the rash, they all sort of came out at the same time. So I was actually able to get a diagnosis within 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. So it was like
a blessing
in disguise. I mean, well, just the fact that they finally got to the crux of the matter.
Yeah.
Right.
And how did your healthcare team decide to treat the lupus?
At that time, I went on a drug called Plaquenil, which is actually developed for malaria many years ago. It's a sort of like a first-line medication for lupus patients. It helps most commonly with like fevers, the joint pain, fatigue, and some mouth sores and things like that. It's a pretty hard medication. It's a malaria medication. I was on it for 10 years. It's pretty toxic to the body. So after 10 years, I wasn't allowed to take it anymore. I was told that I had to kind of go on a break from it.
Right.
So, you know, in addition to that, they'll do things like steroids. If your lupus is severe, they'll give you like immunosuppressants, chemotherapy, things like that. I've sort of had it all over the last 7.
Wow.
If you don't mind, I'd like to go back real quick. You mentioned about the auto accident when you were in your 20s. Can you speak a little bit about other injuries you have from that accident?
Sure. So when I was hit, I had a head injury, and my most severe injuries were my floater ribs on my right side had fractured. So it split my liver into 4 sections. Wow. So I had a lot of internal bleeding. And I had a lot of fractures like throughout the body. So like my pelvic bone, my right side really sort of took the brunt. So I had like fractures in my elbow and my wrist, things like that. Just road rash, you know, infection. Luckily, I was on morphine for some time, and I don't really remember a lot of it. I just remember being in the ICU trauma unit for a long time. But, you know, thank goodness, I was in really great shape in my 20s. And I had a very low, stable heartbeat, and I sort of bounced back, which was amazing, according to the trauma doctor. And I found out later on that, from his point of view, a lot of pedestrians don't even make it to the hospital when they're hit, especially with severe internal injuries. So, I mean, I was very lucky. Obviously, you know, I felt like I was recovering very well, and that's when I started to get sick. So I actually had a small stroke. So we had to sort of determine, is this part of like the head injury or is it something else? And then, you know, all the other symptoms came out. So even though it was a horrible time, I'm sort of glad that I finally had an answer as to like why I've been sick since I was 9.
Well, you've been through so much, and I have heard that there could be a potential link between traumatic injuries and autoimmune disease. But thinking about what you just said, possibly the link is just the traumatic injury brings out all of the autoimmune symptoms, and that's when people can actually discover them. It's not that you didn't have it, but they couldn't really discover it as easily before. Do you think that's true?
I agree. No, I definitely think all of that is very deeply interconnected. You know, I feel like if we are genetically predispositioned for something, and then the environment sort of creates this perfect environment for bad things to thrive, and then we throw in something like a traumatic injury, traumatic illness, or even like a traumatic pregnancy, something that can bring our immune system sort of down to zero, all these other things have the opportunity to sort of like take over.
Well, and how has lupus affected your everyday life? Are you able to work, and how does it affect your recreational activities? And has this disease affected, you know, like other leisurely pursuits and things for you?
You know, it's sort of been like hot or cold over the last 17 years. I've had times in my life where I've been through a lot of hospitalizations, really sick on chemo, couldn't work. I was in a wheelchair for a year. You know, it was very difficult. And those also happened to coincide with being married, like in the first few years of marriage. Okay. So that sort of added to it. But, you know, then I've had periods where I am able to work and I am able to travel and enjoy things. They're sort of short lived, but I guess at this point in my life, I'm able to recognize symptoms, like flare-up symptoms, quicker. And so when I see that something's sort of going haywire, I'll take a step back so it doesn't get to the point where I'm in the hospital on and off for a year. And I'm able to, you know, enjoy things a little bit more.
I'm a little curious. You said you were 23 when you got diagnosed. How did not being diagnosed with having all these symptoms, how did that affect you in your earlier years as far as recreation and going out with friends and things like that before the diagnosis came out?
Right. No, that was definitely tough. You know, I grew up in Fort Lauderdale. We moved from Long Island to Fort Lauderdale. So I had a very difficult time being in the sun. We had no idea why I would come inside and I'd be extremely tired, or I would get a rash, or I would get like this fever for a few days. So, you know, things like that. And sometimes when the fatigue would hit, I would not be able to like go out with my friends. So, you know, we lived sort of in like this development. So I would see all my friends outside, but I was always sort of like stuck inside. That's what I remember a lot of. And so, you know, so that kind of stunk. But, you know, thank God I had a great mom and great grandparents, and we always sort of kept busy inside the house. I think that's sort of where my love for cooking came from. Like, I was always in the kitchen with my grandmother. Mm-hmm. So I kept busy, like, even though I was sort of like a sickly child, I guess you could say, I still kind of kept busy.
You adapted.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
A lot of experiences, most definitely. And because of that, I understand you've also written a book now about lupus. Is that correct?
I did. I wrote a book in 2013. It's sort of based on like a Chicken Soup for the Soul format, because I love those books. And basically, I interviewed about 24 people and sort of went through like their whole story of, you know, diagnosis, what that journey is like, how they, you know, live now and thrive like day to day, their spiritual life, their relationships, because everyone is so different that has lupus. But I felt like there's at least someone in that book that people will be able to relate to, or their story will be somewhat similar to. And so that's sort of how that book was, you know, restructured. But I'm actually working on a memoir now, so it's a little bit more personal.
Okay.
So that's my next pursuit.
Okay.
Oh,
good.
We're looking forward to that.
Right,
yeah.
Right. We have talked a lot about a vital, healthy, well-balanced diet as far as increasing our health. And you say that you spent a lot of time in the kitchen. What role do you think nutrition plays in living with lupus?
So I'm a huge advocate for food and specific types of food with lupus. So from my own personal experience, I have found like very clean foods. I make all of my own meals. Juicing has been a huge part in like helping me have energy. And I'm talking about like juicing, you know, green vegetables, turmeric, ginger, lemon, things like that. Not so much fruit that has a lot of sugar.
Okay.
I'm very big on like bone broths. I don't do, I do a little bit of grains, but I try not to go overboard with them. I try to stay away from foods that are, even in a healthy person, considered inflammatory.
Okay.
So I've learned like through the years, you know, if I eat a lot of sugar, if I drink a lot of coffee, if I have a lot of fried foods, or I eat fast food, I pretty much feel it immediately, just because my body has been so trained now on clean food for like the past 10 years. Mm-hmm. They say that there's really no one specific diet for lupus patient, because people have such, you know, various symptoms. But I try to, you know, stick with, and from people that I've spoken to and different nutritionists I've worked with, you know, keeping the sugar down, keeping the caffeine down, staying away from fast food, fried food, and just pretty much like processed foods is really your best bet.
Okay.
You know, I tell people when I go into diet, because for some it's still a touchy subject, I've learned, you know, you have this one thing that you're giving your body to fuel your entire day, and that's pretty much everything that you put in your mouth. So you're either going to give it something that's really unhealthy and full of chemicals and full of things that we can't even pronounce, or it's something that, you know, you prepare that, you know, exactly what's in there. And, you know, it has just a couple of simple ingredients and it still can taste amazing.
Marissa, I also saw on your website that you like to use houseplants as like kind of a natural air purifier for the environment. And have you always kept houseplants in the house? And what are a couple of your favorites?
Yeah, I'm sort of like a plant junkie. So I don't have children, but I have 36 plants.
My husband's like, "Hey." Yeah, she knows how many.
We have like a whole room. Yeah, we have a whole room of plants. And so I'm kind of like thinking, I think next year after winter, we need to build actually like a greenhouse. It's
sure.
become a little crazy. But I love them. And I feel like I can, you know, have like a little bit of the outdoors inside. I love snake plants. I have a red clover plant that I love. I'm really big on orchids, which believe it or not, like I know a lot of people sort of have a hard time with orchids. They have a hard time keeping them alive.
Right.
But I don't know. I've been just lucky to have this connection with orchids. So I have like 8 orchids that are amazing, and I like succulents. I haven't met a plant yet that I don't like. Even my husband even bought me a Venus flytrap. That was pretty cool.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
I can do orchids, but I can only do the green part. I can never get them to bloom the second time. You know, it
sounds like a personal problem.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I wish I had that kind of a thumb, but
yes.
So I just give up on orchids. I do.
You know, they're tough. And it's funny. I tell people, like, I don't baby my orchids. I almost feel like the more I ignore them, they just kind of do their own thing. Once they find a place they like in the house, I never move them.
Okay.
And, you know, I think people overwater them. I think that's one of the biggest issues. They say you give them 1 or 2 ice cubes of water a week, and it doesn't seem like a lot, but that's sort of how they thrive.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to have to try that. I will try it again. And Marissa, what are your plans for the future besides writing your memoirs? Do you do speaking tours? Are you doing research? What are you going to be getting into next?
I do. So I'm working, obviously, on trying to get a book deal. I do speak several times a year. I usually travel to Chicago and Boston. Those are the two places I speak most regularly, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I work as a journalist. So I'm taking some time off right now, but I still do some freelance journalism. So that's sort of, you know, we're revamping Lupus Chick by the end of this year. We have some new and really amazing things coming out. So I'm excited about that. And that pretty much keeps me busy.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like an awful lot. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today, Marissa. And do you have any additional last minute advice for our listeners besides check out your website?
Yeah, come on over to Lupus Chick. You know, there's a lot of people that are trying to get diagnosed that are having issues. You know, they may not have lupus. They may have overlap disease. They may have multi-connective tissue disorder. So they're not really sure what it is, but you can definitely find a lot of information. You can always reach out to me. I can share some experiences with you. I know a lot of information about some new blood tests that have come out that are helping people get a quicker, more accurate diagnosis that I can share. So definitely come on over and say hi.
Great. That's great.
Thank you. Well, I think our listeners will be very inspired by your story. Thank you so much for taking the time out to speak with us today.
Thank you. It was great chatting.
And Marissa, how can our listeners learn more about Lupus Chick, your book, and you? What is your website address?
So my website is just lupuschick.com. The book is available there. It's also on Amazon. Also, we have a really large Facebook page, which is just under Lupus Chick, one word, and also Instagram. We have reached about 200,000 people a month right now, so definitely come and check us out on there.
That's excellent. Yeah.
Thank you again, Marissa.
Thank you.
If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
If you have a moment to spare, please leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast.
And please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any additional questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast.
Till next week.